listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. It seems like the world has been fascinated by Mars for decades. Since unmanned missions began in 1960, there have been 56 missions to Mars from countries around the world. From satellites to rovers, less than half of these missions have been successful, a testament to the hurdles this planet presents. But these problems haven't stopped us. NASA's upcoming Mars 2020 mission will launch in July using the Perseverance rover. The mission hopes to address key scientific goals for Mars exploration. They hope to answer questions about the potential for life on the red planet and collect core samples from its surface. To discuss more about Mars 2020, Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski spoke with our astronomy contributor Jean Creighton. She begins by explaining the decades of exploration that laid the groundwork for Perseverance.
These conversations started, I think, in the 50s. So the Americans and the Soviet Union at that time were negotiating, which is your planet. This is a little crude, but I think that's basically what it came down to. And the Soviets said, we'll take Venus. And the Americans said, okay, we'll take Mars. Because those are the, you know, the closer on either side of us. And it turns out that the Americans did better because even though the Soviets sent something like 16, 18 missions, the Venera series, Venus is a very hostile planet. So I think we probably have a collective amount of data from Venus from the ground, maybe I'd say all of it is probably under 2 hours. Whereas Mars has been a much more reasonable place, even though Mars is hard. But the Viking landed on Mars in 1978. And there's a wonderful video of one of the engineers who worked on that project. And you can almost cry with him. He's still so emotional about it that the pictures came line by line, line by line. This was the first picture of Mars from the ground. Subsequently, we found out that actually Mars really is hard. And of the 40-some missions that have been sent, 20 have been successful. So we're looking at a 50-50 kind of success rate. And there was a period there for a solid 10 years that we just had no luck whatsoever. The Soviets, the American, all of it just didn't work, you know, flew by, crashed. So the first kind of, when we got back in the game, was with Pathfinder in 1997, I think. So that tells you something about these have been fits and starts. We kind of start and we... and frankly, I think if Pathfinder hadn't been a success, I think, you know, NASA probably would have pulled the plug and said, you know what, this isn't, let's not do that. There are 8 missions now on Mars still working, and that includes orbiters, that includes landers that don't move, and rovers. And people know, I assume, Curiosity, since it's been there for 8 years, I think, now. And InSight landed in 18. And now we're getting ready for the next one. We called it Mars 2020, which has a wonderful ring to it for many years. Its official name now is Perseverance.
So let's get into Perseverance. What is the main objective of this Mars 2020 mission?
They have 4. The 4 ideas is they want to check out the geology with possibility of life in mind. They want to look for what we call biosignatures. And I was really interested to find out that they were training the scientists on the team, who of course will be remotely doing this. Nobody's going to Mars on 2020. This is a machine, right? But they were sent to Australia because Australia has some of the very oldest first signs of life on the planet. And they figure that this is not something you can grasp just by a photograph. You need to really see what is now a rock, but used to be layers upon layers upon layers of bacteria. What does that look like? So that hopefully will, you know, educate their eyes, educate their sensibilities about what this is. There's also the new idea, and that is to have a cache. So you go off, they're going to look in different places. They're very specifically chose. The Jezero crater is very specifically a place that is a dry river delta, and within relatively nearby distances, there's going to be completely different kinds of terrain and maybe very different composition. So they're hoping to send a few, go off on a little mission, and then put together the little tubes of material that hopefully they won't contaminate. That's, of course, another issue. And for a future, for some future spacecraft to come pick it up and bring it home. As you can imagine, even though this rover does have quite a bit of a chemistry toolkit with it, you can't possibly anticipate what is it that you will need. So if we bring it back to Earth, we can use the absolute cutting edge of any kind of equipment that we need, or even build something that we might need, right?
I love that because, you know, some people might say it's, one, optimistic to have a mission with caching samples, but the mission right now has no capabilities of bringing these samples back. So there's that optimism of down the road, we'll be able to go back to Mars, pick up these samples, maybe even create new technology to be able to analyze these samples. And ultimately, it's a second phase that is not guaranteed. So is that just the constant optimism of scientists that it'll stay there, we'll come back for it?
Well, I think it's fair to say that it'll stay there. It's not going to go anywhere. But I mean, talk about optimism. The fourth goal that this mission has is to help prepare for people landing on Mars. And I think we can't send people there unless we have some idea of what the soil really is like, how toxic is the environment, you know, measurements about radiation, all kinds of things. So what's interesting is that with this mission, they're testing an instrument called MOXIE, which basically produces oxygen. There is a trivial amount of, there's a trivial atmosphere on Mars, and worse, there's a trivial amount of oxygen. It's mostly carbon dioxide in the atmosphere of Mars. And if you had to carry all the oxygen that you would need, I think we would be just dead in the water. That's just too heavy, too impractical. So where possible, you want to create what you need in situ, like use what they've got. So this little machine, it separates the carbon dioxide into oxygen and carbon monoxide, trivial amounts of that. So you get, some lovely oxygen. And that's what you would use to breathe. So this is a proof of concept. It is if this works, then we can scale it up and make it something bigger. But it's one of those things that, you know, breathing is not optional. You'd have to fix this problem. The other innovative thing about this Perseverance is the helicopter that was named Ingenuity. This is an 8-pound helicopter that is designed to fly in an atmosphere that's much thinner than ours. And again, it's a proof of concept. It's going to go off and take aerial pictures to help the scientists and engineers determine where is Perseverance going to go, where is it safe. I mean, we have a pretty good idea, but this would be a much more more high resolution imagery. All of this makes it a very exciting mission. I understand now that the first possible date it could happen is on the 20th of July, although the window ends sometime in August. We're always, of course, at the mercy of the weather. So I'm hoping that next time we speak, it will actually have flown safely already.
Yeah, I hope so too. You were mentioning that Mars has an atmosphere and different levels of oxygen compared to Earth, but Mars also has seasonal cycles that people have been able to observe. So do we know of other planets outside of the Earth that indicate a seasonal pattern as well? And is that a main indicator that there is potential microbial life that makes Mars such a place to explore?
No, not necessarily, but I'm glad you asked. There is something very interesting that's seasonal about Mars that does get people excited. And that is that the concentration of methane changes over the course of the year by a factor of, I think it's 3 or 4, significant. And in the summertime, you get a whole lot more methane. The reason why that's exciting is because methane is a fairly light gas, and left to its own devices, it would leave Earth even, never mind Mars, for Mars even more so. But for Earth, if we didn't have life to constantly replenish methane, we wouldn't have methane in the atmosphere. It would have taken off. And the main producer of methane on Earth is our cows. So it's possible that that methane is a sign that there's microbial life now alive on Mars, either on the surface or more likely in the soil. Now, it's possible that that methane is created by other inorganic processes, but that's, of course, one of the million-dollar questions, right? Where is the methane coming from? And the more we understand about the chemistry and geology of Mars, the better we are to say, to answer the question that you might assume we knew the answer to, is there life right now on Mars? And the answer is we don't know yet. I think it's pretty clear that we don't have any walking, talking creatures on Mars, but whether there's bacteria on Mars, that's yet to be determined. There might be.
And this Mars 2020 mission, if it is successfully available to launch during our window of time coming up, won't land until about February of 2021. But we've also had, as you mentioned, so many missions have been to Mars, and we're in this for the long haul to eventually put humans on Mars. I read about a woman, Alyssa Carson. She's 18 and is already starting her training to be the first person to walk on Mars in projected 2033. Youngest person to graduate from the Advanced Space Academy, and the only person in the world to have completed every NASA space camp. And from real life things like this, preparing for Mars, to science fiction films, movies, it's I don't know if an obsession is a right word, but why do you think it's such a decades-long fascination that we have with this planet?
I think it's because it's the next big thing, right? So we've been to the moon, and yes, it would still take a whole lot of work. It is taking a whole lot of work to go back to the moon. We're hoping to get people, the first woman, yay, in 2024, we're hoping. But Mars is a whole nother game. That's that ramps it up in a way that's significant. I think people get excited about the way of solving problems that would get us successfully to Mars, but also solve problems on Earth. For example, you want to get people to Mars, okay? What are they gonna be eating, right? You can't pack little bags of food. You have to do that for the way there and the way back. But when they're there, surely you can't have enough variety of food before people go stark raving bonkers after 7 months eating the same thing, right? So they're thinking about, okay, so what foods can we carry? What foods are going to be nutritionally appropriate that have enough flexibility, enough variety that, you know, I can make my soybeans to do this today, but tomorrow I'm going to make it into flour and make a cookie. The things of life that, you know, for a few days you can put up with a lot, but if you're going to be there for a couple years, well then, you know, the level of what's acceptable changes. People are doing all kinds of psychological research. Now we all know a whole lot more about isolation than we did before COVID-19, but that's a real issue. How does a group of 5-6 people survive in confined spaces where their life depends on each other, it puts a lot of stress on people. So these are all interesting questions that might give us insight on any number of issues that are real concerns on Earth. I mean, we might get insights from depression to, you know, how to sustainably grow our food, how to manage waste. In Mars, you couldn't possibly just pick up your stuff and just dump it all over the place, right? You have to have multi-use of everything and be very, very careful about what you leave behind.
Well, it's certainly all very exciting things to ponder, and we will eagerly await the launch. And until next time, Jean, it was a pleasure.
As always, Audrey, thank you so much.
Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium and our regular astronomy contributor. She and Audrey Nowakowski spoke about the upcoming Mars 2020 mission. If you'd like to learn more about these Mars plans, you can watch Creighton's Moving to Mars program live in July. There's more information and past astronomy segments at WUWM.com.